carpenter, are you? Wonderful. What does that job entail? Just because he said publicly that perhaps taxes were a bit on the high side. Just because he waved.
You've been here before, Sarge,
said Sam as they turned a corner.
Oh, everyone's visited Ankh-Morpork, lad, said Vimes jovially.
Only we're doing the Elm Street beats perfectly, Sarge, and I've been letting you lead the way.
Damn. That was the kind of trouble your feet could get you into. A wizard once told Vimes that there were monsters up near the hub that were so big they had to have extra brains in their legs because they were too far away for one brain to think fast enough. And a beat copper grew brains in his feet, he really did. Elm Street, left into the pits, left again into the scours. It was the first beat he'd ever walked, and he could do it without thinking. He had done it without thinking.
"I'll do my own work," he said.
"Did you recognise Ned?" said Sam.
Perhaps it was a good thing that he was leaving his feet to their own devices, because Vimes's brain suddenly filled with warning bells.
"Ned," he said.
"Only before you came, he said he thought he remembered you from Pseudopolis," said Sam, oblivious to the clamour. "He was in the day watch there before he came here, because of better promotion prospects. Big man, he said."
"Can't say I recall him," said Vimes with care.
"You're not all that big, Sarge."
"Well, Ned was probably shorter in those days," said Vimes,
while his thoughts shouted, "Shut up, kid." But the kid was, well, him, niggling at little details, tugging at things that didn't seem to fit right. Being a copper, in fact. Probably he ought to feel proud of his younger self, but he didn't. "You're not me," he thought. "I don't think I was ever as young as you. If you're going to be me, it's going to take a lot of work. 30 damn years of being hammered on the anvil of life, you poor bastard. You've got it all to come."
Back at the watch house, Vimes wandered idly over to the evidence and lost property cupboard. It had a big lock on it, which was not, however, ever locked. He soon found what he was looking for. An unpopular copper needed to think ahead, and he intended to be unpopular. Then he had a bite of supper and a mug of the thick brown cocoa on which the night watch ran, and took Sam out on the hurry-up wagon. He'd wondered how the watch was going to play it, and wasn't surprised to find they were using the old dodge of obeying orders to the letter with gleeful malignancy. At the first point he made, Lance Corporal Coates and Constable Waddy were waiting with four sullen or protesting insomniacs.
"Four, sir," said Coates, ripping off a textbook salute. "All we've apprehended, sir. All written down on this chitty, what I'm giving to you at this moment in time, sir."
"Well done," said Vimes dryly, taking the paperwork, signing one copy and handing it back.
"You may have half followed here at Ogswatch and give my regards to your granny. Help 'em in with them, Sam."
"We usually only get four or five on a round, sir," Sam whispered as they pulled away. "What'll we do?"
"Make several journeys," said Vimes.
"But the lads were taking the Michael, sir. They were laughing."
"It's past curfew," said Vimes. "That's the law."
Corporal Colon and Constable Wiglet were waiting at their post with three miscreants. One of them was Miss Palm. Vimes gave Sam the reins and jumped down to open the back of the wagon and fold down the steps.
"Sorry to see you here, miss," he said.
"Apparently some new sergeant's been throwing his weight around," said Rosie Palm, in a voice of solid ice.
She refused his hand haughtily and climbed up into the wagon. Vimes realised that one of the other detainees was a woman too. She was shorter than Rosie and was giving him a look of pure bantam defiance. She was also holding a huge quilted work basket. Out of reflex, Vimes took it to help her up the steps.
"Sorry about this, miss," he began.
"Get your hands off that!"
She snatched the basket back and scrambled into the darkness.
"Pardon me," said Vimes.
"This is Miss Batty," said Rosie Palm from the bench inside the wagon. "She's a seamstress."
"Well, I assume she..."
"A seamstress, I said Miss Palm, "with needles and thread. Also specialises in crochet."
Is that a kind of extra?" Vimes began.
"It's a tape of knitting," said Miss Batty from the darkness of the wagon. "Fancy you not knowing that."
"You mean she's a real..." said Vimes, but Rosie slammed the iron door.
"You just drive us on," she said. "And when I see you again, John Keel, we are going to have words."
There was some sniggering from the shadows inside the wagon, and then a yelp. It had been immediately preceded by the noise of a spiky heel being driven into an instep. Vimes signed the grubby form presented to him by Fred Colon and handed it back with a solid, fixed expression.